Chapter 17. The next morning, Lexi couldn't wait to get over to Nan's and tell the ladies what she'd discovered from Jack. As luck would have it, there was a mad rush at the bakery, so she spent the morning bringing up sales of Danishes, brownies, whoopie pies, cookies, and bars. The new wave-shaped butter cookies with blue icing waves went like hotcakes, and Lexi made a mental note to double the batch next time. When the throng of customers dwindled to a slow trickle, she hung up her apron, a vintage pattern of cartoonish vegetables with smiling faces, threw a dozen pastries in a box, and left Cassie in charge while she drove her sputtering VW over to the Brook Ridge Retirement Center. Ida answered the door, her eyes seeking out the familiar white pastry box. It was getting so that when Lexi came over, Ida's gaze immediately went to Lexi's hand in search of the box, instead of Lexi's face to greet her. Ida took the box and shoved Lexi inside, where Ruth, Helen, and Nance were congregated around the dining room table, going over the Wilson murder case. "Hi, dear. I put the dessert plates out on the kitchen counter," Nan said without looking up from the iPad screen she and Helen had their heads bent over. Lexi took the box back from Ida, who had already pulled out a scone, and went to the kitchen, piling the assortment of eclairs, scones, and donuts onto the etched green depression glass platter, then taking 5 matching doily-lined green dessert plates out to the table. She set the pastries down, and the ladies dug in as she relayed the information she'd learned from Jack the previous night.
"So Herman might have been telling the truth?"
Ruth straightened in her seat, the look on her face telling Lexi that maybe Ruth's insistence that she had no romantic inclinations toward Herman was all a bunch of hot air. According to Jack, he couldn't have been the killer. His alibi checks out. I don't know if he was telling the truth about all the other stuff, but he does seem very nice. Lexi broke off a piece of scone and put it in her mouth. If he was once in organized crime, it seems like he gave it up long ago.
And Jack said that Stan seems to have some shady dealings on the side, then?
Interesting, Helen said, helping herself to a bear claw.
Did you get Jack's permission for us to look at that coin today?
No, I didn't get a chance to ask him, sorry. Lexi picked an eclair up off the tray and put it on her plate. After Jack had taken his phone call, he'd been acting even more distant and distracted than he had before. They'd had a quick dinner, then she'd turned in early for the night. He got a work call, so I went to bed early. Sleep had eluded her, though. She'd tossed and turned most of the night and ended up getting up before dawn to go into the bakery early. Jack had been sound asleep when she'd left.
"Well, don't worry, dear," Nan said, patting her hand. "All married couples go through rough patches at one point or another. I'm sure it's nothing to worry about. Your love will get you through."
"So true," Ruth said, after devouring half a glazed donut in one bite. "Whenever Nunzio and I would have a disagreement, we'd both take a cooling-off period. Even George and I had spats now and again. Why, I remember staying with my mother for nearly a month one time after we'd been married about a year. Marriage isn't for sissies, that's for sure. But even the worst of fights can be overcome if both partners are willing to forgive."
"We didn't fight," Lexi said, staring down at her uneaten pastry. Tears welled in her eyes, though she refused to let them fall. "I almost wish we would. Then maybe that would clear the air between us. I'm just so worried it's much more than a simple misunderstanding this time."
"What exactly are you afraid of, dear?" Nan said, her voice growing concerned. "Jack's always loved you more than anything. Any fool could see that." Fool was right. Lexi nodded without answering. She'd thought Jack was devoted to her too, the same way she was to him. But maybe she'd been wrong.
Then let's focus on the case instead, Ida said gently, squeezing Lexi's hand before helping herself to her second strawberry scone. Maybe that will take your mind off what's happening with Jack. Okay. Lexi forced a smile and nibbled on her eclair, not really tasting it. Sounds good. I don't know about Stan being involved in this mess, Nan said. Even if what Jack says about him is true, it doesn't make any sense that he'd be the killer. Why would he jeopardize his own business like that? If he did want to take out Sherman Wilson, logic says he'd do it at a different location, not in his own backyard. She has a point, Helen agreed. And how would he have known about the coins in Ruth's car? He may have had access to her storage bay, but those coins were well hidden, out of plain sight. Exactly. My intuition is telling me the police are off base here. Not that it matters, though, since they never listen to me. Nan shook her head. I will say this about that husband of yours, dear. If he has one flaw, it's that Jack's always so intent on following his evidence that he gives no credence to my intuition. He'd do well to pay attention to us, Ida said. We've been right far more than the police over the years. True enough, Helen and Ruth agreed. Well, it's too late now, Nan said. We don't have time to change his mind. We need to figure out if Stan really is the murderer before someone else gets killed. Yes, Ruth said. I'd like that, considering I'm the one at this table who's been targeted. Ida patted Ruth on the shoulder. All the more reason we should get to the jewelry store as soon as possible to pick up your bracelet. God forbid that $4 million coin is on there and they ruined it. Will you stop with that coin already? Helen gave Ida a peeved stare. If the stupid thing is ruined, then so be it. It couldn't be helped if Ruth had it cut out for her bracelet. Coins are only valuable if they're intact. I just wish I had known some of those might be valuable before I had them made into jewelry, Ruth said. You'd think Joe would have known, Ida said. Nance pressed her lips together. He was arguing with that man about a coin at his place, but he said he knew nothing about coins. Well, if that's not true, then he would have switched the coin and we won't find it anyway. Ida shoved the rest of her scone in her mouth. Either way, we got ourselves a killer to catch. All right, then. Ruth set down her cup atop her empty plate. We should split up to spend our time more wisely. Agreed. Nan stood. Ruth and Helen, you go to the jeweler's to get the bracelet. It's only a short walk from here. She turned to Lexi and smiled. My granddaughter and I, and Ida, will go talk to Stan.